War Room, Impeachment. With Stephen K. Bannon, Jason Miller, and Raheem Kassam. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome to War Room Impeachment. It's 22 November, the year of our Lord 2019, episode 42. We are live on the John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Radio Network, AmericasVoice.news, and we're very honored today to be joined by Chris Ruddy and the great team at Newsmax, one of the absolute fundamental backbones of conservative media, the Newsmax team. We got many, many friends there, many colleagues, and we're just honored that they would go out of their way and work around this to get us live. With the show War Room Impeachment, every day we have been here for it's episode 42 now, the last 3 or 4 weeks. We're going to be here every day until the day after we do a summary show on the impeachment, after the acquittal of the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. My two colleagues, Raheem Kassam and Jason Miller. Just to reset the reason that we have Raheem and Jason here, we actually have a live war room. We have rapid response. We have surrogates. We have polling. And this is the podcast TV part of this. Raheem was Nigel Farage's wingman and is really the mastermind and back of the Brexit strategy that is still highly contentious in the United Kingdom. And Jason Miller was the chief communication strategist for the Trump 2016 and also for the transition, and is one of the great, I think, communication strategists for conservatives. What we try to do every day in 1 hour is succinctly, you know, go through all the details, because as President Trump says, it's in the substance and granularity that he's going to be acquitted. And you see what a sham process this is to actually go through the details. So every day we try to do this. We had a show all lined up, particularly we're kicking off nationwide with Newsmax today. But as President Trump often does, he called an audible. He called an audible this morning. So the first thing we're going to do in this first segment is go through an assessment of really an explosive interview. And actually, I missed the first episode. I've missed in 40 episodes. I had to go down and talk to some folks yesterday. And one of the things I was talking about is his ability. He's a McLuhan-esque figure, his ability to drive the mainstream media and to do this. I want to turn to Raheem and Jason. Jason, first, give us a summation. What happened this morning at 8 a.m. is that President Trump called into Fox and Friends, and I believe without any commercial interruptions, went for one hour and walked through his ideas of what's going on. So I want Jason and Raheem to summarize what happened. There's so many headlines blown up in this thing.
It's so good. And one thing just to set the table for folks, because the headlines from the mainstream media will, of course, be bad. The President Trump came and we're going to get to all the things that he hit on. But his genius thinking here is the fact that everyone in Congress is now heading back home. They went home last night. Congress is in recess all of last week.
Ten days.
So they're done with this Intelligence Committee hearings. And so he knew this was the opportunity to put a bookend on this, frame it his capacity as we go forward. And boy, did he ever. I mean, this is, I use flame emojis or fire emojis on yesterday's episode. This is like fire emojis infinite. he goes into, and just these are just a couple of the top lines. He goes and hits on the upcoming, the explosive, historic, as he said, IG report. He said it goes right to the top. He got pressed on that by the Fox.
Now, the IG report is the one that's been inside the Department of Justice. This is a report that's supposed to go back and revisit everything that happened regarding Crossfire Hurricane, everything that happened on the beginnings of the Russian collusion investigation.
The TAPS. Yes, the illegal monitoring and surveillance of President Trump's campaign. Absolutely. He went to that.
And in the transition where you were there. Everything about that. And this is what President Trump was so adamant about back in January of 2017.
And as far as on the Adam Schiff level.
So he says this IG report's going to be, I think it's December 9th is coming out. It's going to be important. And it's going to go all the way to the top. When you say all the way to the top, or the way President Trump left it hanging, does he mean all the way that it was known by then the President of the United States, Barack Obama?
The host, I believe it was Kilmeade, pressed him really strong and said, are you saying President Obama? And President Trump said, I think this thing goes right to the top. We'll see exactly where it went. But when you
That's a pretty big throwdown.
That is going to drive so many headlines. But here's the thing. Steve, you and I have lived this, and Raheem as well. President Trump has thrown down so many of these things where he's been spot on. I mean, everything from the TAPS, well, guess what? Ended up being surveillance. Anthony Weiner's laptop, guess what? Ended up being some classified documents. I mean, he has thrown down time and time again. But the key thing, I think, really the takeaway from today, he said there were two reasons why the aid was held up. And that when he was pressed on the question.
This is to go back to the basic reason he's being impeached.
Yes.
Which is his entire, and we've got the headlines in the New York Times, Financial Times of London. Because this is a media war. You've got the whole thing. This is the new Joan of Arc. She wrapped it up. You know, she summarized the entire thing. Fiona Hill yesterday, Dr. Fiona Hill, teed up the whole thing and put a big bow around it about what their case is.
And again, I mean, it's what he said, just what the transcript was, which is number one, that Ukraine is the third most corrupt country or rated the third most corrupt country on the planet. He hammered on that. And then the second thing, which again, he laid out in that call.
Where did they get that talking
point? Has he been listening to
War and Impeachment? Where did they get that talking point? Ernst & Young. Ernst & Young, the third most corrupt in the world.
But the other thing, Stephen, I think we've really...
First most corrupt in Europe.
I don't think we've given this enough attention that it deserves. In that July 25th call, President Zelensky, President Trump railed on the fact that Germany and France and others don't pay their fair share to help Ukraine. And President Trump gave that some real time this morning, and we should be pushing a lot more.
So here's what I think is important about this, is that this talks about the framing of the Republicans' response. It's been that Ryan's previous first brought it up. We've had David Rifkin, people talking about intent and about, oh, what he did is wrong but not impeachable. President Trump is going for the pure ether of it. I didn't do anything wrong. In fact, what I did was right. This is what the American people elected me for, and it's about corruption, and it's also about other people putting money in the kitty that were just not looking for protectorates. And so this is, I think, for the first time he's gone back, and we're getting into the trial and these other aspects, but he's actually gone back and said, hey, I've heard you guys say, you know, and I see some weakness, I see maybe some lack of urgency, and hey, maybe what I did was wrong, but it's not impeachable. Hey, I'm calling the play. Not only was it not wrong, it was right. You wanted a tough guy to come here and drain the swamp or take on the permanent political class. And we have seen now for 2 weeks the permanent political classes ideology about national security and foreign policy. That's why she was such a great witness yesterday, I think, for Trump, because she laid it out. And then the arrogance of Holmes, you know, his contempt for the Republican questions, to me, laid it out in high relief.
And one other thing.
Jump in here, Ray.
We were quite happy.
You've been unusually quiet.
Well, I like to let you two get the guff out of the way. Then we hit it with the real analysis. I like the show yesterday. We were clip heavy on the show yesterday to walk people through exactly what you're saying. What, you know, Fiona Hill was doing in her own way, to use a phrase that you guys used earlier, to bookend the public hearings as far as they were concerned, to put the which was all back to Russia. You know, this goes back to the conspiracy theories and all this stuff. Leading the news all of day yesterday was Fiona Hill smashes GOP conspiracy theories. I mean, not one person in that room on the GOP side said that Russia never touched the U.S. election in 2016, but that's the straw man they set up, and she knocked it down.
But what he did today was the comeback. She specifically said about CrowdStrike and these fantasies that you have, that you're trying to get the eye off of Russia and put it onto Ukraine, and that's a fantasy. And the 45th president of the United States today, I think, threw down on that.
And I think he understands that you can't actually have one without the other at the moment. If you've got Russian interference, the likelihood you've got Ukrainians interfering, whether it's on the other side or whether it's to balance or whatever it is, you know, they are fighting a proxy war here in the United States. You're not going to have one side and not the other on that.
Before we get into the further details of his call, because I think it's very important for people here in War Room Impeachment, as we talk about impeachment, how it drives 2020, let's go back. How important was it for him to set the because this is a information war, and it's a heavyweight title fight between Nancy Pelosi, the master strategist of the Democrats, and Donald J. Trump. For Trump to say, I want everybody to listen up, I didn't do anything wrong. And I didn't do anything wrong. It was a perfect call, because I was hired on the look at to look at every tax dollar, about the corruption, which, by the way, is third most of the world. And you need the United Kingdom, and you need France, and you need Germany to throw some money into the till here.
Well, and even more important than that, he also said that we won this week. It made very clear that we won. And that's because the Democrats threw everything they had at him, and there's nothing. Again, he did nothing wrong. These were attacks over his foreign policy. It was unfair what Schiff and Pelosi were doing. By the way, he referred to Speaker Pelosi as being crazy as a bedbug on his column this morning. So you can just see heads exploding.
I don't think the president agrees with she's a master strategist, political information warfare.
He said quite the opposite, actually. He said she was not very talented.
Not very talented?
Yeah.
And crazy.
Yeah. And crazy. Any other, we're going to go to break here in a second, any other quick?
Real quick, President threw down a very strong defense of Mayor Giuliani today. Absolutely no wiggle room on this. Rudy talked about his fantastic record as a prosecutor.
No daylight between
called
the
him a national icon.
Yeah.
Well, he is a national icon.
Yeah. I think talk about his record as mayor being a crime buster.
Yeah.
Really, probably the strongest single defense I've seen of Mayor Giuliani in years.
Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're here on Newsmax TV, live nationwide today, americasvoice.news, Salem Radio, and of course, the John Fredericks Radio Network. You're listening and watching War Room Impeachment, episode 42, Raheem Kassam and Jason Miller. We're going to take a short commercial break. Pay some bills, and we're going to be back. When we come back, I still want to do. I still want to drill down on the 8 o'clock call, and then go into.
Got to get into this John Bolton tweet as well.
John Bolton. John Bolton's back. Stephen K. Bannon will be back in a moment.
War Room Impeachment. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment. Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller, 22 November. Year of Our Lord 2019, episode 42, live from the Breitbart Embassy on the John Frederick Radio Network, Salem Radio Network, nationwide, americasvoice.news, and honored to be joined by the great team of Chris Ruddy and the team at Newsmax, live today, nationwide on their cable network. Let's go back to, we had to throw out the plan today for today's show before we go nationwide on Newsmax the last second, but this is what Trump's best at. Right? What do you call it? Today, he could have had surrogates go out, he could have had everything. He knew people were leaving town, and they thought they had a great week. I mean, they're the New York Times yesterday, the Washington Post, the mainstream media, they're all high-fiving. They think they got it. He comes in and says, hey, I think we have a great week. But it had to be in his voice in the way he does things.
Right. And people aren't going to believe it unless they hear it directly from him. And this is what we call in PR and communications, preaching to your own choir. You got to make sure that your folks are fired up. And Steve, as you pointed out, it's not just preaching to your choir, tell them exactly where in the hymn book they need to be going to.
This, I think, the most important thing. We have talked about this. Ryan's laid out a very smart case. A lot of people on Capitol Hill are talking about this. Hey, it wasn't perfect. What he did wasn't right. But, you know, it's the intention and it's not impeachable. He threw that out today and said, you guys are not listening to me. What I did not only was not wrong, it's exactly why I was elected to be President of the United States. Ukraine, what this stinks of is America decline, right? You're in the middle of the China. You got the vote in Hong Kong. You're negotiating this deal. The whole thing is this existential threat we face from the Chinese Communist Party in China. We'll get more into that over the weekend and next week. At the same time, you got Hong Kong on fire, China on fire. You have this kind of elitist party at Davos that forced the situation in the Ukraine because they want to be up in Russia's face. And we're not apologists for the kleptocracy that Putin and these guys run. But you were there. Raheem was there for the revolution. They want to be up in their face. These people all detest Russia. Fiona Hill is a hater. Right from way back, and we'll get into how she even got into the National Security Council.
And see, one thing, there's an important point here, because President Trump, realizing where the media is going in this effort by Hill to undercut his foreign policy, He went right at the experience question in his call in this morning. He said, I was elected with no experience. I had life experience. All these other people had a lot of experience, and look what they messed up, Clinton, Obama, Bush. He went right at the experience issue in his call.
Yeah, he said they've had a monopoly on this thing for 24 years, and he's the one having to tidy it up. I think
that's quite brilliant, isn't it?
That resonates with people.
Resonates,
people understand
and,
that,
and it talks about this thing has been so, and it's both political parties. That's why it's Bush, Obama, and Clinton. Right? This is that permanent, I don't want to say deep state, this is the one that's up in your face. This is up in your face.
So this
the
is,
last
this
week,
is,
we
this is exactly what he said. He said, I don't like to use the phrase deep state. These are just terrible people who are doing these things.
Somebody
look at you see it. Listen, I'm so glad you're on camera now.
Hey,
I've never seen a prouder look from Stephen K.
Proud papa. Proud papa. It's not deep state. It's in his face every day.
But the other interesting...
By the way, you ought to read the Anonymous book. The other thing we're going to get into over the weekend next week is Anonymous. This thing is just as bad as the impeachment part of it, where people are not doing what he says.
But the other thing he stressed this morning, which I think, again, is really important and resonating with people, is the opportunity cost of all of this. He talked about USMCA. He talked about the farmers. He talked about what's going on with China.
Absolutely.
He's talked about all the priorities a president needs to have and is not being allowed to have as a result of this process. And I think that was, for me, I know what the headlines are going to be. You know, the haters are going to say, he talked about Ukraine and CrowdStrike and the
called
DNC
her, and called
server.
Her crazy as a bed bug.
Called her crazy as a bed bug. Drudge is leading with, I want a trial right now, which is something else he said. But I think the reality that's going to come through to ordinary people out there in the country is, what is this costing us as a nation? What is this costing me and my family?
You know, do we have any clips? And I want to get to the trial. The reason he wants a trial is what he laid out today, and they had to hear it from him. He wants the facts. If you lay out the facts, he said this from the beginning, and I'm so proud on the show that we picked this up, is that substance and granularity are your friends here, right? Substance and granularity. The more you get into the details of what went on, the better it looks.
I think that's that, you know, and that's why we did the show the way we did the show last night as well, if people missed it. Because if you're watching CNN or MSNBC or you're looking at the New York Times this morning, like you say, you'd think this woman is the new Joan of Arc. She's there. She's saving. She's a coal miner's daughter from the north of England,
right.
Single-handedly
deplorable.
Saving the United States from these nasty conspiracy theory GOP senators. But they didn't play the clip of David Holmes getting ripped up. They didn't play the clip of Fiona Hill going off about the protocols of the elders of Zion in there. I mean, it was a bizarre situation.
Did you you pitched episode 41 twice? Is that because I wasn't here as the host? I'm just saying.
It had record ratings. It all. I think it had record downloads.
I'm just saying, if Chris Ruddy's looking for a new host, you know, he's got my number.
No, hey, look, I'd love passing the baton. You guys are fantastic. Any clips we ought to put
up
for
let's play this clip about President Trump talking about the Senate trial.
You know who I want as the first witness? Because frankly, I want a trial. You know, I could think I could have it.
You want a trial?
Whatever I want. Oh, I would. Look, number one, they should never, ever impeach. This is not. I watched five people on your network yesterday say there's nothing here. Andy McCarthy. How about Ken, special prosecutor, special counsel? Ken Starr. He was fantastic. He said there's nothing here. So ready? Number one. There should never be an impeachment. This is not an impeachment. That phone call was totally appropriate, okay? Totally. But assuming these people are as sleazy as they are and Nancy Pelosi is totally incompetent, she's lost, absolutely lost. She doesn't know what she's doing. She hasn't done anything. She can't get anything approved. Everybody's working on this, and they just got blown away because they put their witnesses up, and we're not going to get USMCA farmers and everyone are going to vote against Democrats like you've never seen before. But if they do put it up because they're crazy, I mean, Adam Schiff is a nut job.
I had to get that bit in there. No.
Okay, so, and we got to give a hat tip to Senator Mike Braun from Indiana in this chair, or the chair is normally here for our guest, 10 days ago?
Yep.
Says, the president needs a trial. We don't need, if we dismiss this, it'll always be hanging over him. It'll be hanging over, obviously, Braun, the guy's running in the House he says, but it'll be hanging over the president. He wants a trial, and the president's bought into that.
Yeah, and exactly, and to the point that Senator Braun was making, because look, I'm someone who thinks this whole thing is disgusting, it should just be thrown out, as do we all, but Braun was like, hey, I'm in the same boat, but unless we get out there and flesh it out and have this end with Chief Justice John Roberts saying, President Donald J. Trump, you're cleared of everything, then Democrats are going to attack all the way through the election and say it's a illegitimate election and keep hammering on that.
Now, he called for, and I'm going to be on Maria Bartiromo, on Sunday, I think she announced it today, and I was on a couple weeks ago, where I called for Biden, that the senator and Hunter Biden had to testify, I thought, in this process, but clearly it'll come up in the Senate. Did the president call for that today, too?
He definitely called for Hunter Biden, and he took it a step further and said he wants Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff is the witness that he wants up there.
He called Adam Schiff the real whistleblower.
Well, I think that's the tie back to the whistleblower and what happened. I got to tell you, now, is Lindsey Graham, we've got about a minute to go here before we're going to take another break. Lindsey Graham last night and House Judiciary sends this letter over, and they're talking about actually getting information, right, from Pompeo and all these other guys at the State Department to start to generate information. Does this show you the beginning of the mentality of what they're looking at a trial to be a real trial? That's not going to take 10 days.
Here's how you also know that people like Lindsey Graham are getting the bit between their teeth again and feeling a little bit more confident after seeing these witnesses over the course of the last week, is Lindsey Graham was saying this isn't possible a couple of weeks ago and is now saying that he does want a probe into Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and Burisma. It's the lead story on warroom.org.
I think we got the fire. Okay, we got to take a short commercial break. We're here on the John Frederick Radio Network, Salem Radio Network, AmericasVoice.net, and now Newsmax TV nationwide. It's War Room Impeachment. Short commercial break. Pay some bills. Raheem, Jason, Steve Bannon will return momentarily.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment
on the John Frederick's Radio Network.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment from the historic Breitbart Embassy. It's episode 42, 22 November, the year of our Lord, 2019, here with Raheem Kassam and Jason Miller, two of the master communications strategists out there on the John Frederick's Radio Network, the Salem Broadcasting Radio Network, AmericasVoice.news, and honored to be with the team of Newsmax today on their 70 million home cable network. I want to thank Chris Ruddy and everybody on the team of Newsmax that made this happen. Okay, what we do on War Room Impeachment is try to every day in 1 hour summarize the highlight reel so that you in your busy life can understand what's going on. We don't believe there's been enough urgency, enough intensity to focus on this. The President of the United States, this is historic. Only happened a few times in the history of the Republic. The President of the United States is going to be impeached. Donald J. Trump has now, I think, embraced that. He is, that tweet yesterday, we said he never thought in his life he would ever be associated. I think he used the word evil. An evil word like impeachment would be associated with his name. I think he's now embraced what Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats on a very partisan basis are starting to do. This is inevitable. Now we're talking about the next phase already, about trial and lawyers and evidence and what's going to go on. Today, he, I think, was a seminal moment. At the end of the audition, right? He had the secret auditions, and then you had their grand jury, which had all their witnesses up, and we were able to at least do some limited cross, although we didn't have the team of superstars, but we did have Stefanik and Jordan and people. Mike Turner stepped up, and Radcliffe, obviously. We didn't have all the killers like Matt Gaetz and Mark Meadows, and particularly Lee Zeldin. I think the president went out there today for a specific reason, to set the tone of what his defense is going to be. And here's what Trump is best at, on offense. And when you're on offense, you can't sit there, you know, when you're moving forward and hitting it, you can't sit there and think about every little defensive move and be a wilting flower. Bang, bang, bang. And that's what you saw today. He laid down, and we'll have a chance to deconstruct this after the show because it happened right before he got on. And that's what I think you two guys for over the weekend and next week on Newsmax and Salem and John Fredericks and America's Voice is that, and our podcast is to show how important this was as a information warfare. Now we're engaged in it, right? And he's kind of set the tone. I don't want people saying it was wrong, but it's unimpeachable. Listen, this is Bomber Command, and Bomber Command saying not only was it not wrong, it was perfect. And here's the reason it is perfect. It's the reason it's perfect is this is why I was elected president of the United States with no experience in this area. You saw the experts. You saw them all week. That's not what our republic's based on. When a guy's elected commander-in-chief, and this is what's very important out there, the Bernie Sanders people ought to pay attention. The Elizabeth Warren people ought to pay attention. AOC and her posse ought to pay attention. If you think at that moment, if you ever are to win and you get in there and you think it's going to be different, it's not going to be different. The apparatus has a certain way it rolls and it doesn't want to roll and it's not prepared to roll any other way. Mr. Miller.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason why President Trump was so strong to defend Mayor Giuliani, because to make it so clear that he is part of the team, he is going nowhere, he's an integral part of the team, he's a historic figure in American crime fighting and American politics, and so any of those establishment idiots, armchair quarterbacks are saying, oh, just throw Rudy under the bus and then this will go away. President Trump made
it
very clear.
Another huge moment. We've had Rudy on here, the mayor, twice. He's the Elliot Ness, right, of a crime buster. And he's going to get his day, I think, now. You're going to start to see with Hunter Biden being called. When this goes to be a trial and evidentiary, you're going to get to see this.
Yeah, I think that's right. I thought there was going to be an equivocation from the president this morning over it, because, you know, a couple of weeks ago he was asked, is Rudy still your lawyer? And he said, well, you know, we'll have to see about it. I thought that there might be a similar thing this morning. He came out in the completely opposite direction and he said, absolutely, Rudy's the man. You know, he's the guy that brought down, the biggest criminals in New York City history. He's the man who you do send when you want the criminals rooted out. Now, look, there's a little
bit
of pushback.
You know Rudy better than anybody. I think this was a reinforcement of an American icon, an American hero. He wants to be his
wingman. But there was a little bit of pushback from the Fox News host. They say, yeah, but look, I mean, two of his closest associates are now in jail. You know, is this really a smart move? And Trump just said, look, this is what it is. This is the route we're taking. People are going to have to deal with it.
And this goes back to, look, part of the reason why you have to make it so clear that Rudy's part of the team and why he's in such a strong positioning. Everything that Rudy was doing was trying to defend his client while this Mueller nonsense was going on. The media never wants to tell you that. They just want to go to try to say Mayor Giuliani was doing something improper. He was defending his client. You know, I just want my Rudy was right t-shirt.
We got a few seconds before we go. Also, Mike Pence. He blew the water, the Nikki Haley stuff. What do you say about Pence?
Made it very clear, Vice President Pence will still be the vice president. He really likes Nikki, but not going anywhere. Also made clear that Mike Pompeo not running for Senate in Kansas. He's going to stay there, be a part of the team.
Chris Kobach, are you listening? Are you listening to Fox and Friends Morning Show? Okay, we got to take a short commercial break. We're on the John Fredericks Radio Network, the Salem Radio Network. We're on americasvoice.news, and now we are on the Newsmax cable network, Newsmax TV, one of the finest networks out there. Very honored to be with Chris Reddy and the team. We'll return with War Room Impeachment, Episode 42, in a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment
on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment. It's Episode 42. Raheem Kassam, Jason Miller. We're live on the John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Radio Network, americasvoice.net, and now Newsmax TV, and also the podcast. So the podcast, you just have to go to all the biggest sites, what, iTunes, Stitcher, every...
And remember, americasvoice.news.
.news, americasvoice.news. I actually own the site for americasvoice.net. No, I didn't. So Raheem and Jason, the two master strategists. I want to go to McCarthy and some... And you had Andy Biggs on the show last night. Biggs... Some of the Republicans, we had the Republican congressman earlier. A lot of people are talking about, hey, maybe it's not an impeachment. Maybe it doesn't get there, right? Let's go to McCarthy, what they're trying to counter-program this with.
So my favorite thing is when we have a disagreement in here, and we're going to have disagree about this. Let's play Kevin McCarthy on with Lou Dobbs yesterday.
Well, there's a lot of things they can do about who they bring forward. But the one thing I will tell you today, after watching these 2 weeks of hearings, I don't know if it's even going to get to the Senate. Yeah. The public has now seen how many times Adam Schiff has lied. They now know from the very beginning this is the only thing the Democrats wanted to do. Remember on the night we were sworn in and you watched those freshmen go to their parties after hours? What did they tell them that they wanted to accomplish? They wanted to impeach this president. The chairman of judiciary, where normally this goes to, you know the platform he ran on to get the chairmanship? That he would be the best person for impeachment. Five people on the Intel committee voted for impeachment before they even heard from the whistleblower. The number of times of how many Democrats voted for impeachment before the Mueller report was even there. This is all they talk about because they're afraid of facing this president at the ballot box. They know they will lose, so they'll do anything they can. They'll make up anything, and they bring people in the audition who have never met him.
They floated, and I will leave the they just that, very ambiguous. They floated the idea of just censure instead of impeachment today, looking at these polls, which show the president moving higher in all of them, pre to now, post whatever this has been.
So that's the brief exchange about the
idea. Now this is important because I think with the Democrats, what they raised was about not about impeachment, the process of the articles of impeachment in the House, but in the Senate, that they didn't have the votes. Understand, they don't have the votes to their votes there to acquit. They don't have the votes for guilty. They want to have an alternative to go to a censure besides removal from office.
You're saying in the Senate?
In the Senate. But McCarthy, is that smart for McCarthy to do to kind of, and maybe he's trying to put pressure on the 31 independent Democrats? You know what the game is, so tell me what he's playing.
Yeah, no, this is a genius move by McCarthy and Republican leadership in the House to go and put that pressure and say, you know what, they were really thinking about it, they can't do this. Now, here's the thing, it has the benefit of actually being true. As we discussed on our show last night, episode 41, maybe the best we've ever had, where we went through and said all these members are going to be doing polls as they're back home over this next week or two, they're going to be in real trouble. But Steve, here's the reality. We're going to see you summering with Gary Cohn in the Hamptons before we see Nancy Pelosi canceling this impeachment vote. They're going full speed ahead.
They're so all in on this. They've got to go to the impeachment vote, right? It's just no chance they can do anything else.
But it's great, right? Messaging. Great messaging.
Do you think it is great messaging? Is it take people's eye off the ball that this has actually happened? Even the President of the United States embraced that today. He said it's terrible, but he did embrace it.
It's putting them on such a back foot, though, especially after the week that was supposed to blow everything up.
I got it.
And then you've got Fiona Hill up there, you know, the finger-wagging school mom who's—and you would have loved the show yesterday, by the way, third call from the show yesterday. You would have loved it. We got it.
Best episode ever. When Christmas bonuses come out, trust me,
That's why Newsmax takes us today. It was after yesterday's show. They watched it.
Many people are saying it.
All the people are saying it. But we got into how Fiona Hill—first she calls Trump people Bolsheviks. Then she says, you know, these are the guys that come up with the protocols of the Elders of Zion. I mean, you know, is she claiming to be a czar or whatever? You had so much mixed up yesterday that then it makes perfect sense for McCarthy to go out there and others, by the way. This has been out there before. You know, something I like to do is go and try and read their minds. Look at the headlines on CNN. Look at the New York Magazine articles. Look at the Washington Post articles. It all seems like they don't want to. They don't think they can afford to, but they're trying to pull the Democrats back a little bit here.
But let me ask you something about critical mass and back of messaging, because the President today goes at Fox and Friends, the number one show the conservatives watch in the morning to get the tsunami was doing. When McCarthy said that, and Andy Biggs had said that earlier on the show earlier in the evening with you guys at 5 o'clock, he then goes on Lou Dobbs, McCarthy at 8, it's the same mantra. Was there any Twitter storm? Was there any backup? My point is about the messaging. Are they getting critical mass and back of that censure in the House versus impeachment, or is it just a couple of nits and then it just fades?
So it's at the national level, it's the nits, but it's that's not who the audience is. The audience is, say, the Arizona Republic, when Ann Kirkpatrick is back home in Arizona and she's being asked the question at one of her events over this next 10 days. It's the local papers that are all having to ask their members, what do you think? What are the next steps? And if they have to ask that question, you're in one of those 31 districts. Are you really going to go ahead with this? That's winning.
Okay, over the next couple of days, we're going to be doing resets to let people know exactly where we've gone with this testimony so far. But I want to quickly talk about the critical path of how we get there, right? We have a 10-day break. They've gone on, you know, they left last night. They're going to be back. They're going to be back on Sunday. They're going to be back Sunday a week, I think, start. That's December 2nd when they're first back here. They're writing a report. Meadows told us it's a minority report being written by Jordan, the guys that got Schiff's majority report. Walk me through, how do you get to an actual vote on impeachment before the Christmas holidays?
Yeah, so if I'm Schiff, then I go and take this this entire first week of December basically to run out the media game, the buildup. What's this report going to be? Have your CNNs and MSNBCs every day hammering
it. So you don't deliver it as soon as you get back.
Nope.
You use that whole week, to the week of December 2nd, you use that whole week to build up the drama.
Strategically thinking, if I was Schiff, I'd drop it maybe on Thursday the 5th or Friday the 6th to then go and frame the weekend. So drop
in
that
the Sunday
bomb,
shows.
Drop that bomb,
right.
Get out of here, lead it into the next week. Then they're going to go and the Judiciary Committee.
That's the 9th. Then you got the 9th. So the 9th Judiciary, Nadler gets it. Are they going to allow, since Corey Lewandowski, the state trooper from New Hampshire, bench pressed him on national TV, would Nancy Pelosi allow any witnesses to come forward in the Judiciary?
They're going to have, so I would imagine they're going to have one day, at least it's being reported, they're going to have one day of hearings. And not sure if they're going to have any witnesses, but I think it's going to be it's not going to be a fair process. If they do have anyone come forward, it's a drive the nail, but I think they're going to come forward, basically hear out, basically do a mock trial of all the quote-unquote high crimes, and then say, okay, now let's go and vote.
One day to do that with lawyers or constitutional experts to lay out the articles of impeachment. So
then go into that next week, put forward here the articles, and then vote at the end of the week, say maybe Thursday the 19th or Friday the 20th.
I have said it's going to be Saturday the 21st. You say it's going to be the 19th. We'll talk about this, but that sounds like a reasonable timeline.
And then I guess I'll take the 20th.
Okay, we've got to take a short commercial break here on Newsmax TV and also Salem Radio, John Fredericks. This is War Room Impeachment, Episode 42. Raheem, Jason, Steve will return in a moment.
Bannon, Miller, Kassam. War Room Impeachment
on the John Fredericks Radio Network.
Welcome back to War Room Impeachment, episode 42, 22 November, year of our Lord, 2019. John Fredericks Radio Network, Salem Broadcasting, America's Voice.news, and Newsmax. And actually, Newsmax, when we get to Newsmax, they actually have a very interesting story I want to talk about. We're going to get to
my website.
Okay, hold it. Warroom.org. It's amazing. People can sign up. You get a free newsletter. You go to the podcast. And
I love all our affiliates,
free.
By the way. But how about
free.
Some love for the
go
War
ahead,
Room?
To talk about the
no,
War
no,
Room.
No, that's
site.
It. That's it. Warroom.org.
But I want to go to something in Newsmax and talk about two guys yesterday: Jonathan Turley of George Washington and Dershowitz of Harvard. What did they have to say about this?
So these are two preeminent constitutional law experts. I'll start off with Jonathan Turley, GW law professor. He was on CBS with Margaret Brennan and the rest of the team. And he goes, well, if I have to be objective, it's the thinnest evidentiary record ever given for an impeachment, and it would be the narrowest impeachment in history. That creates added vulnerability when it goes to the Senate. That's Jonathan Turley.
Turley is a hater.
Yes.
He's a hater.
But look, he's reasonable. And here's another thing, too. Alan Dershowitz, of course, the famous lawyer, he had an interview with Newsmax, which, by the way, if you're not on warroom.org, then you should be on newsmax.com.
Yeah,
and here's what he said in his interview. They can't make it up as they go along. They have to find one of these four elements. There's no treason, no bribery, no high crime, no misdemeanor. So it's not impeachable. And then here's the critical thing, Sean. I think Alan must be listening to the show. This is not a crime. This is an argument about policy, whether the policy with Ukraine is the right policy or the wrong policy. You can't criminalize that. That's Alan Dershowitz yesterday on Newsmax. I encourage everyone to read it.
Isn't this what the president, and the president speaks in a non-political vernacular. He speaks to the working class people and middle class people in this country outside of the realm of politics. And that's what he's basically saying. What Dershowitz says in a very Harvard-esque kind of brilliant way, this is about criminalizing policy. What Fiona Hill and these people want, they want America's First to be criminalized, right? They do not agree with the policy choices of the President of the United States, his Commander-in-Chief, Raheem, you can jump in.
Yeah, no, I just want to stress on the point about the Jonathan Turley comment, because it's so important, and I can probably get the clip up here if we want to hear it, but he stressed it again this morning on CBS and said it again this morning, so this is the second, we didn't just slip out. He is beginning to realize, and the narrative is beginning to cut through, that this evidentiary record that they have brought up is just no meat, no substance.
Is that why the president, I think, in the last couple of days has now said, hey, where I'm going to win this is in the Senate? The more substance, granularity, they've strung together a collection of memes and a collection of incidents to try to build a narrative. Raheem.
You want to play this clip of Jonathan Turley?
Do we have enough time? How long is the clip?
About 30 seconds.
Okay, let's roll.
...that you laid out. There's a lot really troubling here, and you can impeach a president for abuse of power. And these are legitimate issues for a judiciary to look at. Looking at it objectively, however, you have to know this is the shortest investigation that we've seen of an impeachment. Mm-hmm. It's the thinnest evidentiary record ever given for an impeachment, and it would be the narrowest impeachment in history.
Okay, on that note, we're going to have to shove off here. We're going to be here live over the weekend. We're going to do a special edition tonight, a special edition tonight at 6 or 5. A special edition tonight at 5, and then tomorrow we'll be back live at 9 a.m. This is Stephen K. Bannon, War Room Impeachment. My two colleagues are Raheem Kassam and Jason Miller. You're listening to us on the John Frederick Radio Network, Salem Radio Network, americasvoice.news. And now on Newsmax TV, we want to thank everybody at Newsmax that made this possible. We'll be back tomorrow morning live at 9 a.m.
Warroom.org.